Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me egg.
Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And y'all know I'm going to do the same thing this evening, right? But before we get into all that, I got to do the same thing that I do each and every week. And that is give a shout out and give thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this platform, because y'all are the real MVPs. I say that each and every week. Thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all. Y'all all over the world. Y'all keep rocking with your boy. Y'all go back and watch past episodes. Y'all download the new ones. It's just really love, man. And I thank y'all because I understand what this podcast space is really about. It's about the audio. So thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all, thank y'all from the bottom of my heart. Okay. So tonight, I have a guest scheduled to come on tonight, right? We want to talk a little bit about, you know, Latino history and Afro-Latino history, right? So hopefully they tap in a little bit so we could get, you know, that conversation going, because I felt like it was really important for us to really, you know, start figuring out ways to kind of put this thing together, right? Because most of us, like I say all the time, we're so separated by some of the worst things. And a lot of times, complexion and race and language and all of these other things is what keeps us separated. When in reality, it's just okay to be different. But the circumstances that we're all faced with are the same. And we all have to deal with those circumstances the same way. But for some reason, we overlook that part just because of what we're looking at, like what's obvious to us, right? It's obvious how a person looks. It's obvious what a person's complexion is. It's obvious what a person's, you know, language may be if you hear them speak. You can't just look at a person and assume they speak a certain language, but once you hear them speak, then you can understand, okay, well, bet this is what they speak or whatever. Doesn't necessarily mean that's where they're from either. Sometimes some people know different languages, right? But it's so many things that's being used against us to separate us at this particular time. And it's being done at a high level. So that's why I felt like tonight's conversation was going to be important. Now, if my guests don't show up, that's fine. right? Because it's a bunch of things that we need to talk about as my members of Spark Conversations, my conversationalists. That's what I call y'all, my conversationalists, all my people that get up here each and every week and y'all rock out with your boy, right? I bet. So look, this is what we're going to do, because I keep being told that, Rob, when you go live, you don't be sharing your live, yo. And I'm like, yo, it's cool, right? Because a lot of times I be working, like trying to really make it happen, right? And so I'm really trying to figure all this thing out, right? And make sure that I, you know what I mean, do all the things necessary that I need to do to make sure that this platform continues to grow, right? Because that's the main thing, right? We want to make sure that the platform grows, because, man, look, man, there's so many different things that people could be doing, right? And whenever you kind of put that into a perspective and you say to yourself that, yo, you know, at all aspects, sometimes you might need to slow down a little bit. And I feel like that's something that I need to do. Like, I'd be really ready to get into the show to the point where I just go, right? And I don't think about, you know, just take your time, you know what I'm saying, flow through it. And like I said, y'all, this is a learning thing for me too. As much as, even though I'm at 139 episodes, I'm really pushing through to make sure that I learn this thing and really become the person that I'm supposed to be in this information space, right? So here, what we're gonna do, I'm about to share my live real quick, right? Because, you know, most people, they would think that, you know, like, this is easy to do. Like, all the stuff that we got going on is easy to do, and it's not, right? And I feel like, yo, at this particular point in time, you know, we all got to be focused on something more than what we're faced with each and every day. I just want to be honest with y'all, right? Because a lot of things that we be faced with each and every day, it can be considered a distraction, though, y'all. And I know a lot of people wouldn't really look at it like that, because they look at it as basic every day, right? You know, especially if you do the same thing every day, right? Most people will look at their lives and feel like, nah, I go to work every day. Yo, you know, I pay my bills, or, you know, I pick my kid up from daycare, or, you know, I cook, or, you know, whatever your normal routine is. And people look at that and they don't look at that as a distraction, because they look at that as life. Like, this is just normal life or whatever. But I just know that for each and every person that's watching this right now, watching me, or have an inkling to watch anything of mine, I want you to know, and I think you know, that, you know, you were just meant to do more than that. And I'm sorry that it's taking you to have to look at life in a way where you feel like the things that you're dealing with is more of a burden than a blessing, than it is for you to really actually feel like, yo, I can really change the circumstances in my life. You know, it's just like, so many people blame things that go on in their life on other people, versus really looking at the fact that even if it is another person's fault while you're going through something, that, damn, you can really still change it. It might be tough. It might be hard. You know what I mean? It might take you a little while. But if you really want to change the circumstances and the situation, you really can. Like, kind of just put that into a perspective. Like, when most people, they talk about it, they say, yo, I've been working all day, my job is stressful, I've been going through this and the third, and then they got all these gifts and talents that they sit on, or they barely put the effort into, right? Or they got a knack to be able to do something, or they started a business or something. And if these people don't focus on really honing in on their business so they can replace the thing that is really bothering them every day and making them feel a certain way, then why are they complaining? That's what I like. I be wanting to ask people, right, that really have a way out. Like, why won't you get out? Like, why? It's like somebody that is in a prison, but the gates are open. Like, the cell is open. All the doors all the way in the prison is open. You can walk out at any time you want to. But for some reason, your mind will keep you right in that cell. or in the area where the cells are, because that's just the way that your mind is set up, versus you actually saying to yourself, yo, I really can get out of here. There's nothing really holding me here but me. And that's a lot of what us, you know, people that's dealing with in their lives, man, they the ones that's holding themselves back. They blaming other people and other things. They're blaming their children. They're blaming their jobs. They're blaming their family for why they can't really get to where they supposed to be or do the things they're supposed to do. Right? But it's really not their fault. How many, like, think about how many like-minded people be around each other, but yet they don't really buckle down and get to the business of the things that they do around each other so they could change their perspective. Right? Because so often, you know, we focus, right? But we focus on the wrong things. We focus on everything that make us feel bad, because the things that make us feel good, we feel like those experiences only happen by happenstance, right? It's just by chance that we get those opportunities to feel good, versus us looking at each other and saying, yo, you know that the way that we put energy into anything else, we could put energy into feeling good. We could put energy into being happy. We can really force our situations to be good and great the way that we want it to be. All we got to do is really focus in on it and make sure those are the thoughts that we're having, versus having these negative and insecure thoughts about things all the time. You know, I promise you. You know, if you guys study anybody that you consider to be wealthy, now I'm only saying it about wealth because wealth equals freedom. Now, if you don't want to be free, then I understand. And most people, you know, they don't think or they consider themselves free. But here's the thing. I know, because I hear this all the time from people, you know, everybody's not meant to be a boss. Everybody's not meant to be a leader. Some people are meant to go work for other people. And I get that, right? Not arguing. I wouldn't argue with a person on something like that if that's their perspective. But what I will say, it just depends on that person. I will say that. It depends on whoever that person is, because technically, there's a lot of people out here who just put money into things that makes money and they don't have to do it. So it's kind of like, I get where people coming from when they say that, but then again, I don't subscribe to that because people say that. Because to me, that's a cop-out. To be able to say that, right? Not everybody is meant to this and not everybody is meant for that. Well, then, okay. But then if that's the case, then why is everybody expecting to go to heaven? If everybody is expecting that all they have to do is confess this and claim that in order for them to get to heaven, if everybody feels like they can get there, then I don't understand why everybody can't be free. Like, I don't understand. Right. And then when I think about freedom, I don't think about freedom in a way where you could just do what you want. Right. Because we got to have respect to person. When I think about freedom, I think about not only to be able to go or do what you want or be places that you need to be, but I also think about it from a perspective of just your mindset. Do you know how many people out here who go through things each and every day where it's their mind that keep them captive? Not so much just their circumstances that are around them. Because those are the things that we could.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Change. It's just that so many of us, we fight against that change because it's uncomfortable. We think about starting over as if it's a burden. not looking at starting over as a blessing, because there's somebody who wish they could start over the next day, and we're here. You know how many of us plan things that go far out, like y'all birthdays? Like, I don't know. Like, it's a lot of people right now planning birthdays that's going to happen in November and December and stuff like that, because you got faith and you believe you're going to get there. So you're planning it out now, right? So it's the same perspective when it comes to life. Like, why can't we look at life the same way? Force yourself to think about these things. So look, check this out. Y'all know the vibe. I always tell y'all each and every week, man, double salute to all of y'all that join us each and every week. Make sure y'all understand the comments are wide open, okay? Because tonight's conversation is going to be just about that, because I always want to be able to give y'all the real, and we're going to bridge the gap between, you know, what's really real out here, because like I said, they keep using all of these different things to keep us separated, more so than we need to look at the way that our circumstances is that makes us the same, all right? So before I get into bringing my guest up and all that other stuff, because we're going to talk about some things, I'm telling y'all, it's going to be a great conversation tonight, because listen, there's so many different things that I know me growing up, like, you know, where I'm from in New Jersey, it's like I grew up with Latinos, right? It wasn't a thing where it was just like, you know, blacks are separated and this, that, and the third and all that other shit. It wasn't like that. I grew up with them. They were part of my family, a part of our life. It's the same thing. I grew up with Puerto Ricans. So understanding the culture and understanding what's going on. But we also want to talk about a couple of other things. So look, before I get into that, let's do what we do each and every week. We know we got to give our rant, because what I want y'all to pay attention to is, like, you know, there's a lot of things right now that's screaming, you know, America. And when it comes down to our brothers and sisters over in Puerto Rico, a lot of things that we don't think about is that, you know, there's a such thing called the Jones Act. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to get into this conversation tonight. That'd be something that probably, you know, probably have to be set up and really get into. But for those of y'all that's watching, I want y'all to really look into that, right? Because now is the time for us to understand our culture. Because when you see these people, you got to see indigenous people. We can't keep looking at things and looking at ways to keep us separate more than we need to look at things to bring us together, okay? And that's number one. You know, out of all the things that we want to do in this life, we got to find ways to bring us together more so than we go to keep us separate. All right? So this is what I'm going to do, because I got my guest on. I mean, I got my guest in the wing. So we're going to bring her up right now so we can get into this conversation, because there was a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, but for time's sake, we're gonna get that on the next one, right? Because it needs its full and its own attention, right? Because there's a lot of stuff going on out here. So look, let me bring my guest up real quick and let's see what's going on.
Like 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Oh,
hi.
All right, what's going on? How you doing? I mean, you need some time?
Huh? Yeah, I wanted to post it because I was trying to figure out how to do the link, put the link on my thing. So
all right, back. No, go ahead. Do your thing. It's okay. Just okay. I'll keep talking junk while you're doing that. Slow up. I bet. So listen, I want all of y'all out there to understand tonight the comments will be wide open, okay? And y'all know what to do. Y'all get in there if y'all got any questions or anything that pops up from tonight. Y'all know what to do. Put it in there, and that way we can try to get these things answered for y'all, all right? Because it's going to be a great conversation, because there's a lot of history and a lot of things that we don't know about. And I think that the most important part about having a platform is that we need to be able to give out information, even if it ain't clickbaitish. Y'all know the vibe. Everybody's platform out here nowadays, if it ain't about what's going on in entertainment and distractions, they not with it, right? So this is going to be good. And then once we get into it, yo, I want y'all to do me a favor. I want y'all to make sure y'all follow her, you know, at Black Tina. And I know on Instagram, you know what I mean, is where I communicate with her the most. So y'all go out there and check it out, because at the end of the day, she does put up a lot of information about the things that she talks about, all right? So we're going to get into it in a second, all right? Because she's getting the word out right now. She wanted to get the word out to the people that we about to rock and roll.
Okay, sorry about that.
No, you good.
Under pressure. Under pressure. Took so much longer. My apologies.
It's all love. I'm glad you made it though, right? Because that's what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So look, before we get into anything, just do me a favor. Just introduce yourself to the audience and then let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
Hi, I'm Nydia Simone. I'm the founder of Blacktina Media, where we amplify Afro-Latino, Afro-Caribbean narratives in film, TV, and art. So I am a filmmaker. I identify as a storyteller, and I use different mediums to really tell those stories. And due to the shift in film, I've actually gotten into experiences and telling stories through experiences, whether they be reading experiences, culinary experiences, and as well as like content creation and social media. So I just started to kind of like invest more in my content, which has led to like, you know, a lot of growth in like different communities that I haven't been in. So I'm kind of like transitioning right now, but I've worked with Warner Brothers, Nike. I had a show with Telemundo, as well as like local nonprofits. Like I'm an advocate for Black women, queer people, and just like marginalized communities, such as like the Indigenous communities. I think you were talking a little bit about Indigenous community earlier. Yeah. So I believe in that, but I also believe in Black people putting the same energy that we put in discussing how other communities are affecting us, like that same energy into creating our own economies, ways of life, and just sovereignty and sustainability just for the Black community. So we don't necessarily need to coalition build out of our community. I think we have a very large community when you think about the African diaspora. And I think we have a lot of work to do just there, outside of creating coalitions like, you know, with the Jewish community and the Asian communities and even different Native populations, which I think is great. It's just, I think we got a lot of work to do with speaking to Black Caribbeans, you know, and the Black Muslims. Like, we have to be on the same page with people who just look like us. And I think we spend a lot of time trying to meet other cultures, and we still are not one band, one sound in our own
gotcha. Home.
So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I like all that, because that's a lot of the stuff that I talk about on the platform a lot, is about how we are so separated by things because of us using our main senses, what is our visual, right? Because most of the time people go through things just based on the way they see people, right? And so, like what you were saying, like when we think about Afro-Latina, you know, people... The fact that we have to separate it in that particular perspective is a means of why we have a lot of work to do, right? Because if you're Latino, you're Latina. It shouldn't have to be separated by, you know, the fact of whether you Afro or not. Because let's put it to you like this. There's a lot of people who originally would have been whatever considered Afro-Latino, but during the Europeans and all the things that they did, of course, they... You know, they spliced them on down to where their skin color and their stuff looks a little lighter in different parts of different places, right? But it's still the same people. So what we have to go through is that, you know, the fact that we identify as a color is what keeps us the most separate.
Right? I don't think we're identifying as a color. I think Black is a political identification, and we're just having different conversations now. But mm-hmm. we've always been from Africa. Like I don't think we identify, like when I say Black, it means it's like a cultural connection more so than you just have the same color as me. It's also, you know, texture, it's features, like, you know, we look a certain way. So I think when people identify as Black, it's not like mm-hmm. we're identifying with the color Black. It's more so we're identifying with this shared cultural connection and a shared lineage. And I just want to say, like, Latino is not a race, you know, like you right. have many races. You have Chinese Latinos, like it's not it, you know, it doesn't belong to one person. And really, calling ourselves Latino. I use all the terms. I don't have an issue with terms. I think I use the terms to so you know what I'm talking about. But a lot of our terms that we use are flawed. I will acknowledge that. But to identify as Latino, we are identifying with our colonizers. We are identifying as essentially like the losers of the war, like the colonized people were the Latinos. But there has always been a racial hierarchy within Latinidad. Like there's never been a time where everybody was the same and we're all, you know, that has never existed. It's the same racial hierarchy that existed from, you know, 1455 to now, you know, across Latin America, across industry, even in the church. So like, there's always been racial, there's also been a clarity around who's who racially, like, like everybody knows where you belong.
I mean, I think at some point, you know, some people could get confused by that, right? Because there's a lot of things where, you know, your skin color doesn't necessarily define, because as a race of people, we encompass the whole globe, right? But
this podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
They make it to seem like we only came from one place, or we only existed in one place as melanated people, right? So they feel like everything is only there. And even if we look at the civilization, if we say that it started there, right? Even if we look at it from that perspective, still as melanated people, we still circumvented the globe. We were all over the globe. I mean, this is just like, it's just been proven in so many different ways that we are. So in a lot of different instances, we still get caught up, like you said, which I agree with you 1,000%, different things that make us identify with a colonizer versus the fact that at one point we all were speaking one language. We all did have certain things that were the same. I mean, you know, if we go by certain things that was based on history, we think about before the Tower of Babel fell, everyone like spoke the same
Bantu, language. Like there's Lingala, there's Kikongo, like the continent, the African continent has like hundreds.
Yeah, you're speaking in different of dialects and stuff.
So there's never, and even during enslavement, they would mix like our ancestors. That's why a lot of us now, y'all love these DNA tests. Y'all love these freaking tests, but they'll have like different countries, different nations. Actually, they'll have Bantu. There'll be some people who are Congo, some people who are Yoruba, some people who are Igbo. Like, and that was to like confuse you, but we've never only spoken like one language. Like that hasn't been, we've always been actually multilingual, like as a lineage.
Well, I mean, you know, it's still like I said, that's, we will have to do a little bit more research on that, because based on the before the fall of the Tower of Babel, we all did speak the same language. So it wasn't until then that the languages were separated. If we go by, you know, what that history is.
Are you going by Christian theology?
No, not at all. Because you got to remember, like, most of Christian theology only come from basic scriptures. That's not like a thing where it was just all like universal. But the way that things were broken down, as far as the way we could see as far as how hierarchy is done, and when it comes down to principalities and, you know, in the more spiritual space, then we could pretty much understand that, yo, there are different versions of what happened in the beginning of whatever. Right. So we all know that there are different things that are out there. And we all know that the secret societies exist for a reason, because they keep certain language or certain information secrets for a reason. Right. So we know that there are things that we're not privy to that they are, which they use against us because we don't know. But we also know that originally that was our technology and information. So for us to really sit here and act like, now, I mean, not me and you, but I'm just talking about as a group of people, to not think that we didn't exist at a time where we wore more unison, it's kind of hard when we know that there are certain secrets that they're keeping from us. And we know that.
And I, like, think, there's not a, and I think the, like, idea around education being withheld is, like, really in a really important thing. And that's something that I've seen, like, across Latin America when it comes to Black communities. They don't have the same access to education. And that's another reason, like, growing up in the United States, a lot of people don't realize how many Black people existed in Latin America and the Caribbean during enslavement. Like, most people were taken there. So more Black people actually speak Spanish than speak English. Like, so,
no, facts.
So that,
no,
that,
you're right. Spanish and French.
That, like, it's like, because there's a, the Pew Center actually has done some research, but there's, like, a lot of different things going on with that. But estimated 200 million Black people in Latin America. So that's, like, a really, really substantial number. But it's also this community, like, education is used against Black people in Latin America, and it's heartbreaking. So I think you bring a good point about, like, people not knowing things and secrets and, like, things being withheld. I think that's a big issue
in a community. Yeah, because you got to think about it, like, you know, the Moorish people, the Spanish, you know, the Moors were, they spoke Spanish. Right. You know, and they were the ones that helped civilize Europe, and they're the ones that they civilized a lot of different places. I mean, we could go on and break that down. So even when we look at certain languages, languages don't belong to even to Europeans in the sense of what that was, not French, none of these things. It's just that the identity comes with that, because, like you said earlier, the winners, well, you didn't say this, but this is what it really meant. You know, the winners are the ones who wrote the history or rewrote it, you know, but the real truth those about the stories things,
we repeat, you know, exactly. You know, those are the narratives, you know, we continue to share. And it's just like, we could just decide to share our own narratives. And that's the crazy thing. A lot of people don't see the value in their own narrative or their own communities. They think it's less than, and there's a lot of shame around it. So that's why I think it's really important to tell, like, authentic Black stories. And why a lot of my work is around, like, marginalized communities, because I feel like the people with $0 know how to create value. Like, it's like, those are the alchemists of the world. I was talking about how you can go into any, like, kind of poor Black community and find a party, and it'll be like, how are these people getting all this? It's like, well, Mr. John got the ribs, and then Shantae got the drinks, and now, and it's like everybody kind of does a little bit, and the whole community can, like, enjoy this cookout and can enjoy this environment, which is like, our, this is what we do, is our culture. Like, community is, like, the foundation, I think, of, you know, Black culture and our heritage. Like, we got some, we know how to have some community.
I think the saddest part about it is that, but you're right. If we could focus on that part, if we even call it community, right? Like, because if we could even put this the right type of term to the things that we do, I think it'll add more value to it, and it won't just be considered a kickback or a cookout or a party.
But those things are still, like, I think those things are important. Like, in Trinidad, it is called Lyman, And that is, it's very important. Like, that is part of mental health. Now they're saying, like, mental health is about having friends. People don't have friends. They don't have friends anymore. Yeah, so they're sad and depressed and unable to do life.
Right. But my point wasn't against that part. My point was to say about how we look at it. Like, right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's community though, at the end of the day. Like, if we could title it what we want to title it. But the fact that if we know that words have power and they have meaning, the fact that we got to put more emphasis and more importance on the things that we do. Right. Yeah. Without my point about saying that we just can't call it a kickback or a cookout or something, because I think you make a valid point. It's a community. It's, we're building community when we can get together and help chip in to help make sure that everybody can enjoy at least this day. Right. And even maybe have some leftovers for people who, you know, struggling in between meals. Right. But the point is, that's what community is. And the fact that we don't use the term community is the fact of why it's not done on a regular basis. It's done on an occasion, a holiday, or whatever that is, versus it being a thing that we could look at as a way, how can we help sustain each other in a way where we could come together where everybody, so nobody's kicking each other's door in. Because at the end of the day, we do have that where we could be more like a more of a community, but the same community is the ones that's kicking in your door. It's not the people from the outside of your community. So that's another thing that I think that, you know, we should do more with putting emphasis and making it more of an importance on what we call the things that we do. Right. So let me ask you this real quick, because we want to know a little bit more about you and what got you into this particular version of content creation. Because when I ran across your content, you know, I heard you speaking about, you know, reggaeton and the origination of it, where people mostly give the credit to, you know, and you were really breaking it down in a way where I was like, well, Dad, that's really dope. Because as much as we are as a group of people, you know, revolutions that we start doesn't always have to be the ones that we start where it is, you know, guns and stuff. A lot of times through our art, we start revolutions as well, too.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about you and, you know, let's talk about a little bit about where you're from and, you know, and how you identify with the Latino community.
Sure. Okay, so I was born in New York City. I grew up I grew up in Brooklyn, but I've been all over the boroughs. I have family all over the boroughs. I'm not one of those people who's like, I've never been to Queens. I've been to those boroughs that I don't like. And I will tell you, I do not like Queens. You know, I'm not a big fan of Staten Island. I don't know what the point is. Ferry. When we going back? So I grew up in New York City. My mom is African-American, Geechee. Our ancestors actually moved from Savannah, Georgia to New York City during the Great Migration, but our family was enslaved in Virginia. So we may be cousins. If you a bird, BYRD, let's take over that plantation. And my dad is actually Panamanian and our ancestors are from Colon. Mm. So my line is the originator of reggaeton. So this is my ancestry. This is my lineage. My ancestors actually built the canal. So we came from Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, St. Lucia, and Martinique. So I'm like, I was like, yeah, I got to get rid of some of these. This don't make sense, because I'm big on like, what are you? I don't want to hear that you're 5,000 things. So I was actually pushing away.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast.
And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sale for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I didn't want to hear it, Martin. I was like, I don't know. All I know is we're Panamanian. That's all I know is I'm Panamanian. But yeah, it's really important to like know that whole story.
Yeah.
Where when you start getting into the history, it starts making sense. And some people think that they're African American, born in the United States, and they don't even realize they have Jamaican ancestry because of the history of this country, of the United States. So that's me. I've lived in Panama. I haven't lived in Colono. I've lived in another Black area called Bocasotoro. I've lived in Mexico and Dominican Republic. So I have a soft place in my heart for the Dominican Republic and Haiti. So you see a lot of stuff about Haiti, a lot of stuff about the Dominican Republic on my page. And I went to school initially, it was for business. And I wish you have to do your purpose, you guys. You can try to do everything else and it didn't work out for me. Like, so I ended up in theater school and like studying theater. And that's where I really found like, okay, like I'm supposed to be in this industry. So I stayed and I started pursuing an acting career. And that's when everybody was like, oh, you look too young. Went to LA to be like a Disney kid. And then apparently I was like, oh, so I'm a Black woman. It's not about how hard I work. So I had that whole slap in the face because I grew up in a Black bubble in New York City. And it was like African-American, Caribbean, like Afro-Latino, like, but we was Black, we was proud. It was like education focused, lots of totally poverty and like low income.
Yeah.
But everybody thought, all you gotta do is work hard and you're gonna make it. If you just try really, really hard,
true,
you can make it. Unfortunately, true, they did not prepare us for the extreme racism and misogyny that we would encounter. Like, cause I was totally not prepared for all the racism I experienced as an adult. Like, but it's such a blessing. It took until I was 22 to really get that. So I feel like lucky I had my experience, but moved to LA. It was kind of crazy. My family wasn't the most supportive for that. So that felt like really, really difficult. So it's like kind of been me being my number one champion and the strangers on the internet that I love so much. Started writing when I realized like they're not hiring Black women, which I was like, how do you not do that? Yeah, that's like a thing. So I started writing, producing. I eventually had a film at the Cannes Film Festival and I started to learn kind of like the behind the scenes of the industry where I recognized it wasn't just like, oh, this industry is so racist. It's more so about greed and hoarding resources, racism is in there, but it's like a different thing. It's a different thing. And I feel like that isn't acknowledged as much, like greed and the hoarding of resources. So that's why if you know somebody, it's helpful if they're actually your friend, because you don't actually need to be smart or skilled to get hired if you have a friend, you know, because they actually just want to live their lives and not work. Which I'm not against, actually. I don't believe in work. I believe that work is a colonial symptom, like, because nobody was working until white people said you have to go in here and work for 8 hours. And now we have to pay rent to stay in a place, even though the land is here for us, the water is here, the food is here. And you're telling us like everybody has to be poor because you say it, and everybody's fighting each other. But we're all in the same position that we want to get out of. Anyway, did that. What else in LA? I'm in LA. I got into a huge car accident. I didn't like it. I didn't like LA. Friends were really difficult to make. Everybody was trying to get on. Everybody just wanted to be my friend because I'm really, really good at networking. So they would only want to hang out when I was going to like a red carpet or some studio visit, you know, Which is fun. LA is fun for that. It's nice. It's nice to go and go to the studio and watch a movie. Like, instead of going to an actual movie, you never need to go to the movies because you're always watching movies.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, so that's a flex. Move to New Orleans because I was supposed to do a movie on Katrina. Movie from hell. The investor left, stopped paying the bills, got kicked out of the hotel.
Yikes.
Kicked out the hotel, go to a boarding house in, I forgot which town it was, but I took the streetcar a couple times. And it was just a lesson in be your own people. But that's what we got to figure out. We got to figure that out. So did that, move back to New York, ended up working for CBS, where I started getting serious about Black Athena. And when I found a production company actually approached me and wanted to do a show. So I ended up leaving my job because I thought I was going to be rich and famous again. Yeah, so it didn't work out because they didn't understand Afro Latinidad, even though they were Black people. Hey, how are you? Just stopping by to support you. Okay, hey, Nicole. Hi, what's up? So yeah, that didn't work out, but it showed me that people need to learn about Afro Latinos. But I was like, I didn't want to teach. I'm like, I'm a filmmaker. I just want to tell my story. Why do I have to teach people? But that was kind of the push I needed to like create the Instagram and create like the lifestyle channel. So I said, I'm just going to build this up and create the space so people know that they'll have this space. And then ideally I'll be getting all the brands. Didn't recognize the racism. It was also going to stop me from getting that too. So like I feel like it's been hard because like I just thought I would just move in the world like a regular person, and right. I would just have to do the work, and I would be like I would be rewarded for that, but always kind of unfortunately underestimating the racism within the system that I'm moving around, and the sexism, because that's another thing. Mm-hmm. Is that, and it has been a little tricky. I'm still learning. I'm really trying to, I've been better the last like year, but it's still really tricky, like navigating all those systems and knowing which one you shouldn't be going towards, because for you as a Black woman, it's not going to lead to anything. But like thinking the opposite, like white men have been crazily helpful. And I'm like, I need to ask more of them because they're the ones that like, it's like that slot machine always says yes. Not always, like there's some white women who like, get out of here. But they tend to, for some reason, like, I don't know if it's the white guilt or whatever, but they will be more open to like listening or passing, you know, an email on and stuff like that. So I'm like rambling a little bit, but there's like a reason for it.
Well, no, it's cool, because here's the thing. Here's what I've discovered by being in the industry, because we're filmmakers on our end as well, too. We have a bunch of content out, new stuff coming in, a whole nine. So here's what I learned. Racism only exists in situations where we need something from someone. You know how it works out. Like, it works out whenever a person knows that you don't need them, then they act right. And that's for us. For those of us that look like us, this is the thing that we have to make sure that we teach ourselves when it comes down to our films and our content and everything that we push. We have to realize that people don't give us nothing when we look like we need it. They only come to us and give us stuff when we think that they don't. Check this out, for example. I remember I saw this thing about Michael Jordan, right? And what it was saying was, yo, my man Michael Jordan making $100 million a year, $120 million a year, right? And in that, they were saying that, you know, it's nothing he can buy or nothing that he can't get, which is a fact, because he can. But everywhere he went, he would be given stuff for free. His money was no good. Now, let's take this for an example. Now, these businesses, they have to pay their staff. They have to pay for marketing. They have to pay all this stuff. But yet and still, a person that could come in and cash everybody's check just off of one transaction is the person that could come in and don't have to use his money, and he doesn't have to pay just because of that. So when I look at that, and I kind of thought about that, and I looked at for those of us that are on this end, the only reason why he was able to be that person, that no matter how much money he got, his money didn't mean nothing to people, just his presence being there, is because he was able to take what he had and create it to a point where he made people feel that he didn't need it. And that's what he did, because he did not. And if you kind of think about throughout his career, when it came down to the championships or not, did he need his team? Yes, he did. He couldn't have won all those things without his team, but did he need them to close out? Not a single solitary person on his team he needed to close out. He closed out on his own every time. So I always thought about that. And then I always thought about this too. He has a bunch of rings, but a lot of these games went to game seven, and it wasn't based on one bucket, one shot that caused him to win. And even though he was a continuous winner, because he the one that closed out. So, and what I mean by all that is that a lot of us, is racism that we allow to happen to us only because we don't believe in ourselves enough. And we are the number one spenders of everything that goes on. We're the number one consumers of everything that's put out there. And to answer your question about why white men are able to, the reason why they give up things, regardless of certain things, the only reason why, because they always see us as a commodity. They don't look at us as an equal. They look at us.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
It's a commodity. And if you kind of look at the way that their lifestyle has been structured, their lifestyle has been structured because we've been the ones that's been consuming. So anytime they could put us in a position where they could use us, they will. So that's where that comes from. The bottom line is that, you know, we don't believe in ourselves enough to do it on our own before we go to somebody.
We don't go with leverage. I combat that just because people have told me directly to my face I didn't get hired because I was black. Like, so it's not, I'm not going out making this racism thing up. I'm not making this stuff up. Like, it's like,
well, I don't mean it from that perspective. Oh, okay. What I mean it from is that the reason why, even if you would have got hired or not, is because we went and asked for it instead of creating the roles that we're looking for. So what I mean by that is
the people, a lot of people, like, even like, this is not even just like, oh, Nydia, you just experienced this. Like, a lot of people have experienced racism in, like, not even just film and TV. Film and TV is kind of crazy because they feel very comfortable. So too comfortable being racist and sexist and stuff like that. But even outside of the industry, it is an issue, as well as the issue of within, because we live in a white dominant society, like, you'll have people who are even marginalized who are not supporting their own community, who would rather support the dominant society. So you'll, in film and entertainment, you have like black men, mm-hmm. Not hiring black men, but will hire like a white guy because they think it'll make them look good to the company. So it's that too. And this also happens with women in like venture capitalism. Like, they found that run venture capital owned companies are supporting men more because they think it will look good, you know, to support the dominant person. But it's like, that is not helping.
Just to have a communication with you with that. I don't necessarily, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. I want you to make sure that you understand, like, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I will say from a different perspective, where we continue to forget the things that, and this is just a real fact. If you look at every Fortune 500 company, if you look at every industry that is a physical or labor-based industry, it's always been men that has been doing it. So whenever a woman invests in a man, it's not based on the fact of it being that. It's more so based on the fact that that's how she got to her place, is because of a man that did it before her and allow her to have the luxury that she was able to create. So it's not that. It's just that. Well, no, let's think about it. Let's think about construction. Let's think about infrastructure. Let's think about financial system. Let's think about all of these things. All of these things were invented by men or created by men. Now, this is not me saying that just because I'm a man. We're just talking about it from a sense of just facts. Every luxury that a person is able to have in life is because a man created it, not because, you know, women weren't there or women weren't important. That's not it. But I'm saying that the luxuries that we're able to have is because of men. Like the fact that you have roofs over your head, like housing, building, roads, construction, everything that we use as a civilization. Because you even got to think about it. This is not a thing where they try to separate men from women, right? Because they want everybody to be equal when we're not. Even with us as men, we can't do everything women can do, right? But for some reason, when it comes down to the conversation between men and women, they use these things to separate us versus understanding that what the team is meant to be for. Now, if we could kind of really put this into perspective, a lot of people who deal with racist things, or if women are dealing with sexism, right, when it comes down to whatever industry it is, nine times out of 10, you don't deal with that when you create it on your own, right?
Yes, you do, because if
you have your own team, let's just say this, for example, I can only speak for
experience.
I'm saying if you create it on your own, yeah, you talking about like when it comes down to wanting to be in certain places or certain rooms, yeah, you're going to have to deal with those things. But what I'm saying to you in the sense of going to direct to consumer, it's just based on what a person feels success is. And that's where we fall short at, as to what we think success is.
If you don't do anything and you're just like, oh, I'll just sit by the beach and like sell pineapples on my own time and live in a cave. Yeah, like you can do that. Like that definition of success, if I totally, totally agree with that. Like, but I've been kicked off my own projects. There's even like Black people are kicked out of our own corporations at like 2 to 3 times as white founders. So like that's a real issue. Even if you have your own stuff and you're doing direct to consumer, like that's why I'm so passionate about us having our own economies, because if we have our own economies, all this stuff we won't necessarily have to do. In my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, in my mind I'm thinking, if we have an option and we have Black economies that don't rely on tap dancing for white people or trying to impress the white community in any way, shape or form, from our hair, the way we look, to our credentials, if our stuff is just enough for our own community and we are able to have our own systems, our own markets, in whatever industries that may be, but just having an option, you know, just a Black option, I think it will change a lot of things in terms of the Black community at large. I agree with you. I do like more in the arts and culture. So I'm like, my area of expertise is arts and culture. So that's a problem. It's a big, even if you are an entrepreneur and you are doing your own thing. Like,
I guess for me, the way that we've been able to approach things, we haven't had to deal with that. And I think I'm going to tell you why though. And I mean, because that's the thing about having this conversation with people, right? Because a lot of times, we look at things from a perspective of, like, are things meant to be? Like, even me and you having this conversation today, it was meant to be, right? It's not just the fact that we just doing it just based on the show. This is meant to be. So the reason why I say that, it's a lot of things that we didn't run into or we don't run into because we create our own thing, is because, you know, we use all the platforms that people use in order for them to maintain their own products and the way that they move things. So we do things no differently. And here's how we do it, because it's not a single solitary place in the world where there's not a McDonald's if it's a civilization there. There's a McDonald's.
The island I live on has no McDonald's.
Well, that's good, because if that's the case, then that's good.
That's because they make sure they don't have it.
Okay, good, because I'm glad. But look, I wasn't about to big up McDonald's. Let me be honest with you on that. No, I wasn't about to give them no props. I was about to use them for this example, though, because they still advertise. And what I mean by that is that it's so many other people in the world, like so many places where they already know McDonald's. They know McDonald's. McDonald's do not have to advertise no more, ever. But every 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to see a McDonald's commercial. And what I'm saying to you is that because when certain things, when it's broke, don't fix it. The one thing that we don't do as content creators, as filmmakers, is that we don't market, we don't take the same enthusiasm into our products as they do. But then we go to them and have to get them to boost us because we feel like they're going to get us to the next level. And see, that's where we go wrong. See, that's where I have to pay attention to other people's mistakes.
Yeah.
Because the one thing about it is that Sidney Poitier, Dolemite, Richard Roundtree, so many other people, I could keep naming them. They all, during a time where it was racism was worse for them than it is for us now, they was able to exist and cut through. And so many other different families, like, of creators and content people. So it ain't really, like, I could look at it, right? And I'm not, that's why I said I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I will say is that right now, if racism is holding anybody back, it's because they are allowing it to, not because it's the dominant thing that's keeping people from going where they need to go. It's just the fact that we got to think more business and we got to get out of asking people for handouts. And listen, I'm not telling you you can, but what I'm saying to you is that we have been successful by doing that. Now, I can't sit up here and say something to you based on something that I haven't done. I'm saying to you, and I'm Googleable. You can look up hashtag #Raw1 on any platform in your farm. So what I'm saying to you is that we have been successful because we have taken the approach that they have taken without asking them. And that's how we have been able to be successful.
But I think you're talking about, there's two different things that are happening here. On one hand, there is racism and but I think it's bigger than racism. I think it's colonialism. On one hand, it is affecting people. And you have whole institutions that have books to teach other people to oppress our community and other communities. But the two thing that you mentioned, which I totally agree with you, because I'm also like an example of this, is during extremely harsh times, you can still have a great life, even though that sounds crazy. During enslavement, there in South Carolina, I believe it was illegal for Black people to like learn to read and write. Like, you could die, but people were writing, reading, they were publishing books. Enslaved people were publishing books. Would you believe that? During a time where it was illegal for you to even know how to read, and Black people were publishing books.
So that's my, you know, now so, you get, so, so you helping me with my point though, right?
No, by but I see that. What you're saying, but I'm saying I disagree with the
you
whole.
You can't, like, you just made the point. No, you just want to disagree, but you just made the point, right? Even in the midst of when it was harder for them than it is for us, they still did it.
Right.
My point is, what I'm saying to you is that that's our energy. Our energy should not be that this is still existing. No, it's not stopping us. Like, what I'm saying to you is that, listen, if you are a person that's subscribing to the fact that racism is still a thing or is bothering you and is stopping you, it's because you didn't, not you personally, I'm talking about as a person, you did not do your history, because there has been a time in America where racism was way worse than it is now, and our people made a way to do it on their own. And because they did it on their own, they were successful. Now, we have lost that mentality. Why? Because most of us have turned into a political party. And in that political party, we have been given things. We have been given welfare. Because here's the one thing that I did not say to your example earlier. You were right that when you go into the poor impoverished communities, they do have so-and-so bringing the ribs and so-and-so bringing the sodas and all that. But most of the times that they bought these things is because they were using government assistant money to pay for it. Because a person with no job, unless they're stealing, is not going to be able to contribute anything. The fact that most of these people that were in these places of impoverishment because of food stamps, WIC, and all these other things that they were given from people who actually went to work. Right, because I grew up in these situations. I'm from East Orange, New Jersey.
But everybody,
right? I grew up. Listen, hold on for a second. You gotta let me get my point out before you able to, you know, respond. Because what it is that you probably would get my point if you let me get through. Because what I'm saying to you, as a product of that environment, is which I'm saying I'm a product of that environment, of the same one that you said. So the circumstances of standing in line for government cheese, going to the store with food stamps and had to have the book or getting the EBT card, these are all part of our community and how we were able to survive based on the way that people, adults before us, chose to live their lives, not the children. It's what the adults choose to live. So what I'm saying to you is that, yes, all of these circumstances do exist. But in this right now, if anybody is yelling or screaming that racism is the means of why they cannot be successful today, it's because they didn't pay attention to the people before them. And because the people before them had it worse than us, and they did it at a higher level than us because they believed more than us. They wasn't looking for nobody to give it to them. They didn't go to Hollywood. They created their own Hollywood. Remember, Hollywood used to be in New Jersey before it went to California. Like, right? Just like how we keep talking about Egypt and Africa, but they got more pyramids and Sphinx and everything right here in the United States than they do in Africa. So it's so much stuff that people have been telling us that we have not been able to go get the information ourselves because we're going by what people are saying. And no, I agree with you when not that there are racism exists. But what I don't agree with is the fact that if you're not successful because of racism, there's no way.
Oh,
there's no way. There's no way a person right now should be worried about racism in this day and age, because we create the culture. The only difference is we gave the culture away because we want somebody else to give us a deal. We want to be on so bad. We want to say that we was at Warner Brothers. We want to say that we at Disney. These are the things that we want to have on our resume because of what it looked like. We don't want to say that we on Sparking Conversation because this is our or whatever, right? Because we don't look at it and hold the same value as we should. But then we want people to look at us and value us. But we don't value ourselves. So, no, I agree with you in the sense of this racism exists. Yes, from our own people. Our own people have hurt us before a white person will physically right now. Going to the wrong place. Right? You look like them and they'll hurt you before a white person will. But what I will say is this. If you are a person that is a creative or anything and you're not successful based on the way that you feel like racism, it's on you. It's really your fault. Because nothing can stop you if you think business. You got to do what they do. Not ask them for a handout. But you let me ask you this. In the sense of...
Wait, because I want to respond to what you said, though.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm like, I feel like I need to have my notes. But some of the things that you touched upon was crime. And crime is normally intraracial. So normally people don't go to another community to commit crime. They will commit crime in the environment that they already live in. So the reason that you as a Black person, it's more likely that another Black person will rob you or assault you is not just because they're trying to hurt Black people. It's just because y'all are in the same community. Same for the white people. most of the time they're getting robbed by other white people. They're not getting robbed by black people, which is why Facts. The news loves that story.
Facts.
Yeah. That's a sensational story because normally it's for the same thing. Something that you mentioned about welfare, it seemed like you were talking about welfare as in like as if people who were on welfare should be ashamed and as if they were taking something from other people. And I just wanted to talk about that.
That's not what I said. I said I'm a product of that environment. What I was telling you is the way that I grew up, right? So I cannot shame the way that I grew up. What I'm saying to you is that as a person who grew up that way, I understand the system and what that was. And welfare was taxpayer dollars being used to give to people, subsidize people who did not work from the people who did work. Now that I do know, and because of that, people have been able to do or live a lifestyle generations behind generations, grow up in a project of able-bodied people who could really work, who chose not to because the system allowed them to be there. And I'm saying that because of my own generation of families that's there. So whether a person can take pride in it or not, it has nothing to do with me. What it all has to do with is that whether you are a person that lives by fact or fiction. Fact of the matter is, if you got food stamps, if you got WIC, if you got Section 8, it's because a person went to work. And their tax dollars was taken out to be given to you in order for you to do that. So whether you are appreciative of the people that go to work every day or not, that's on you. But as a person that received those benefits, I'm just saying this is where they came from. They didn't come out of thin air. They came from the people who actually went to work, not the people who collected the benefits. Because remember, as black men, we can't go down there and get food stamps like a black woman could. Well, a black woman with a child.
It sounded like there was something negative in collecting food stamps.
It's negative.
I misread that. Want to say most of the time it's the poor people who are putting into that because billionaires don't even pay taxes. So the billionaires are not, you know, taking care of us. It's just poor people taking care of poor people anyway.
That's not true either. Don't let people lie to you on that.
Billionaires are not paying taxes. Like,
hold on. Their corporations pay taxes. Them as individuals might not have to pay taxes based on certain loopholes. That's based on certain loopholes, but their companies that they pay a 25% tax. So the companies do pay tax. So that's what I'm saying. It's another myth that they've been telling us out here in this in our community.
But it's not a myth. Like, it's based on the IRS. We can how much Mommy, Jeff Bezos pays in tax. We
that's
can
not
see
true.
How much Mark Zuckerberg pays. Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with Facebook. That has nothing to do with Facebook. All right. So as a millionaire,
Facebook.
No. But this is the company that he owns. He makes money based
off
Facebook.
No, I'm talking about Mark Zuckerberg. I'm saying
Mark Zuckerberg owns Facebook.
Taxes. Nydia is paying taxes, though. I'm paying more taxes than Zuckerberg.
Hold on. Check this out. This is why in our community, we got to learn economics, right? Because the company, the money that he makes comes from Meta. Right? That's the money that he makes. It comes from Meta. So the company Meta itself pays taxes. Not only does it pay taxes, the taxes taken out of the employees that work for Meta.
Let me
help you out. I'm trying to help you out. I get what you're saying, but that's not how that works. This is what I'm trying to help you. Because you're going to that's not the fact. I'm trying to help you.
He didn't pay any taxes though.
I'm trying to give you the facts. No.
He did not.
Okay. All right. So here's the thing. I'm trying to help you understand that, as a business owner, you're not subject to the tax of a person who gets a W-9. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help give you a thing is that Mark Zuckerberg makes his money off of Meta. That's how he makes his money. So in other words, the company that he makes his money for pays taxes. Him himself doesn't work for the company. So you don't get an income tax take from unless you work. You don't work, you own the company. You don't work for the company, you own the company. That's how we are going to be. When you, as Black Tina, once you get to a certain level, you're going to be the same way. You're not going to be paying taxes. Your company is going to be paying the taxes.
Sure, but it's still the truth. I still pay more taxes than Mark Zuckerberg. Like, that still didn't change the fact that he doesn't pay taxes.
No, you don't. Yo, listen. All right. Well, we'll talk. We could have that in a different thing.
But that wasn't even. I didn't even.
Is I would have to show you. Go ahead.
My point in talking about the welfare and talking about like how basically poor people are helping other poor people, is we also as a community, if you're talking about the African American community, not only the African American community, but other Black communities around Latin America and the Caribbean, we never got our reparations. Like, there are people who their 40 acres was taken away, and some people didn't even get that 40 acres and a mule. I'm sure you're familiar with the 40 acres and a mule that I'm talking about. Spike Lee has even named his company that. So the reason that the welfare system even has it, most of Black people aren't even getting all that welfare. It's mostly so I don't even know why it becomes a whole thing about the Black community, but
no, you're right.
The Black community created a global economy, however it's just basically leeching off the labor of this group, and there is no reciprocity. So I think that's kind of like the issue with like the some people feel like there's shame for welfare. And I do think there's people right now who should be on certain parts of welfare and they won't because they are simply ashamed of it. They are simply ashamed to have to do that. And the way the system works, it works to take all your time so you can't even get a job. They can't even just give you cash assistance. This, you have to work kind of part-time now, I know. Like, you have, there's like a, there's like meetings you have to take. So it's not even like, oh, I'm not working. It's like, I go give you out all my time and you give me enough to be poor. But that's where it comes to.
Poor is a mindset. Poor is a mindset.
Well, in turn, like, I guess each and every one of us. I should use the term like low income and like income financially.
That's a mindset too. That's a mindset too.
Entrapped. So. Yeah. That's kind of it. But I do think people don't have access to learn about jobs and systems that they could be in that could change their situation. And then there's fear from even sometimes their own community into taking a different route. Like, people will say, no, don't do it. Just stay here. Try to be a cop. Try to be a this. Try to be a that. So I think there's a lot of reasons. But I also, I see what you're saying about the don't even acknowledge racism, because I'm into a law of assumption. So I see what you're saying. Like, if we're not even like, if we don't allow it to have any power, like then if it doesn't exist in my mind, I'll never encounter it.
I'm trying to tell you. Here's another thing. Because you're fighting it. You're fighting me. I'm trying to get you the game, but you're fighting it. But you're getting it. It's just taking you a while. But here's another thing I'm trying to give you. Here's
another thing. When I wasn't even having it on the table, and if I would have thought that way, I could have protected my business.
Let me, and this is what I'm trying to tell you. As people of color, as melanated people, we all have suffered against it. But the only time that we really had to really think about the time that we did is because we went to ask for something from somebody. We had a need, and then we got rejected, because that's what we deal with as a group of people. We deal with rejection more than we deal with anything else in this world. As Black men, we are rejected out of the home. This is why welfare is able to exist. Remember, you can't have welfare long as a man is in the home. So if there's a woman that's
taking public assistance, can you repeat that again?
You, as long as a man is in the home, a woman does. You can't get public assistance. You can't get public assistance as long as a man is in the house. And that's a fact. What
is that like? Is that like 2025?
That's right, since it's been in the beginning. Yes,
because I know even right now, who are men who have Section 8.
You know, men who got Section 8, but you don't know a married man who got Section 8. You don't know a married woman who got Section 8. If you do, it's because nobody knows they're married.
Check this out. But the thing is, like, what does that have to do?
I guarantee you that that's because that is part of the stipulation. Now, what I'm telling you is that what I'm trying to help you to understand real quick is that whenever it comes down to whenever you are in a position where you need from people and you're giving, you're just taking what they're giving you, then you're subject to whatever they give you. You, if you are poor or if you in that position, it's only because of your mindset.
So you don't
believe that it's your circumstances. You know what I mean? Like, your circumstances is based on your mindset.
So you don't agree in Black people applying for jobs?
Don't agree? What do you mean?
Because what I'm receiving by what you're saying is, like, Black people shouldn't go out and get any... Like, I don't understand how you can not need anything. At some point, you are going to need maybe even a loan, a job. Like, you have to apply for a job if you don't have anybody in your family.
What am I saying that makes you feel like I'm saying that people shouldn't get a job? I'm saying that people should get a job.
If you need something from somebody else, because somebody has to, like, give you a job. And
I'm not saying that. That's because, see, here's the thing. You probably will get it if you wasn't in defense. Because, look, check this out. What I'm saying to you is about welfare in general. If you're going to welfare, that's because somebody is giving you something. You didn't earn it.
I wasn't even talking about welfare.
No. We talking about whenever somebody is looking for somebody to give them something.
No, I'm talking about
in the sense of rejection.
A job. Like, so you're saying, because some people consider when you apply for a job, they're giving you that job. So that's why
we're not. That has nothing to do with what I'm saying. Like, I don't, like, people, if you have a job, that's what we're talking about. Because if you have a job, you wouldn't be on welfare. What we're saying is that we want. Job,
though, that's the act of asking. And that's where people can run into the racism issue that you say doesn't exist.
No. I didn't say that racism don't exist. I said racism always exists for us in the sense of when we're asking for something. Going to get a job is if you look at that and you deal with racism in that job, that's fine. But you can always go find another job. Now, most people have created their own jobs, right? Because there's a thing where certain people have been able to do a couple of things. Like, if they were able to get housing assistance or public assistance and get a check. Because I remember at some points people were getting a check. Now, did they go take that check and enroll into a community college? Because they on Section 8, they rent $35. So did they take that check and go roll into a community college and learn a trade? So that way they don't have to worry about it. And they can make more money than the person that's going to do the 9-to-5. It's all about your mindset. It's a $300 trade. You can take a class at night for 3 months and get certified for $300. And now you could be somebody's electrician or somebody's plumber. So what I'm saying to you is all about the mindset. Whenever they tell us that we don't have opportunities, they're crazy. Because if you got a smartphone, if you have a cell phone, you have access to information. It's whatever you choose to look up. Most people looking up fighting, or they looking up things that depress them. Or their phones are attached to the things that they think about the most, and they're showing them things in their feed. But most people don't use their smartphone for what it's for. If they would do that, then you can get off of any situation you win. It just depends on how you do with your mindset. You have to change it. Like I said to you earlier, we deal with racism because we think about it. If I don't go in there, if I want to put a movie out, if I need to do that and I need to get everything together to get the movie, I rent the equipment, I get with the people, we put the movie out. We don't wait for no studio to tell us, right? And then if you kind of think about it,
resources to do all that stuff to begin with.
That's why we have our own clothing lines. This is why we hustle. It's just like with anything, you got to have something to sell. It's not a company out here that don't have a product to sell. We just have to have stuff to sell. So in our community, we do all
the... How'd you fund your company?
By promoting our content. First of all, when you promote your content, and then, see, here's the thing about having it. We got a phone. We pay a cell phone bill. So when it's time to shoot, we already paying every month to have our phone. Right. So it ain't just for phone calls. So we filming. So right. We're not using no excuse. So we got our film. So long as we pay a cell phone, that's how we get our content out, period.
And what's
so once you get your content out, it starts to move around. And then when people see you, you start to market and promote other things that you have, like clothes and other things like that. So then people like what you got, what they do, they buy and they support. We sell shirts. We do all these things. Why? Because we put it in front of the people. Now, how you get there is that, yes, you go get a job if you need to get a job, right? You
and your people, there's people trying to get jobs, can't get jobs.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying to you is that sometimes it's because of where they are. I had to get up out of where I'm from.
Where are you from? Right?
I'm from Jersey.
Which part of Jersey?
East Orange.
Oh, okay. I know East Orange people.
Right. So I'm from Jersey, but I had to get out of Jersey in order for me to find other opportunities. I toured up and down. I've done music. I've done television, movies, all that. But it's because I went and followed the division, not follow people. Now, there's a lot of other people in this world who get a vision, but they don't follow it. That's all of us get that.
Why do you think they don't follow it?
Because they don't believe in themselves. Why? Because of our circumstances. You know, we grow up in a broken homes. We grow up in where people don't tell us that we could be something. They tell us what we're not going to be. Because that's all I heard growing up is what I'm not going to be. That's all I heard. You ain't going to be this. You're not going to do that. You're going to be like this. You're going to be like that. You're not going to make it to 18. I've heard that all my life until I said that I want to prove them wrong. The reason why I did it is because I said I'm going to show you, and I showed them. But that's what gave me the tenacity. There's a lot of other people who take those words and they internalize it. Yeah. So it's harder for them to get over what they hear versus what they know.
Yeah.
How many of us go through that right now? Like, yo, listen, you said it earlier today. Like, you've seen rejection and misogyny because men look at attractive women and they say, I'm trying to
handle the rejection. It's like a whole, for me, I've lived in Black environments, and that for me was the best in terms of like mind clarity. Everything wasn't perfect, but it's different. It's a different lifestyle. And I do believe like living in like a white dominant society, it's like another layer of stuff that just you have to deal with. Like everybody doesn't have to, but if we live like where I live right now, I'm in Massachusetts. It's stuff I didn't have to think about when I lived in Panama, Dominican Republic, and even Mexico. And they there's Black places in Mexico, but most of Mexico is not a bunch of Black folk, you know, but they not bothering nobody. Nobody.
It's a myth. And it's a myth. You know why? Because we don't travel. But listen to some of these comments. Let's get into some of these comments real quick before we go. Because I want to make sure that we understand, like even the people that's watching, they're saying. So basically what Yessie was saying, like this is known as a brainwashed society, which we all can agree on, right? And then she was saying that by repeated messages, social norms and manipulation lead them to adopt beliefs, behaviors, or values without critical thought, which is what we was talking about earlier, but people don't change their mindset, right? All right, some examples of this: media, message influence, education systems, cultural conditioning, groupthink, conformity, distractions, and consumerism, which we all agreed on earlier. That's what we do. We consume as a group of people. Now, this is what I like right here, because as she's done all kind of stuff. She's been a manager, leader. She's done interviews, all these other different things. But the top three reasons why people don't get a job is lack of experience or skill, poor resume or interview skills, job market and economic conditions, criminal record, background issues, and discrimination. And now we can add credit to that list.
If your credit
is messed up, you might not get a job in certain places. But here's the thing about jobs and about people and credit and all these other things that even what she said, every single reason that a person may not get a job, whether it be lack of experience or skills, that's not an excuse no more, because your phone and ChatGPT can give you the breakdown of anything. That's true. Poor resume or interview skills, that's not true, because you can go on YouTube as well for the interview portion. There's no thing. Job market and economic conditions, that's not against them either, because you can pull up your phone, find out which places have the best for what you feel, and you can move there. All right, criminal record, background issues. Now, we know that's based on choices we make when we're younger. And discrimination goes along with what you said. Racism and discrimination is a part of it.
conditions is a big part right now, because we are in a recession and a downturn, and people who are veterans in film and entertainment, they're foreclosing their homes. So if you are trying to be, if you're watching this and you want to be in film, TV, keep on doing what you want to do, but just know this is the hardest you'll ever work. It's going to go up again. We're going to go back. You know, the good life is
coming back.
Everything cycles. Everything is in cycles, but if you can make it now, the money's going to look even nicer. Like in 10 years.
Just got to stay your course. Well, right, look, let's do this, man. Before we get out of here, I want to make sure that people they could reach you, because like I said, there's a lot of information that you give out about the history of Afro-Latinos and stuff like that. And then on top of that, you know, I think it'll be great for you to be on a couple of panels. We got some panels coming up, right? Where it'll be great for you to be on there, because I like the fact that, you know, people can have a difference of opinion without it becoming an argument and without it becoming a thing where it seemed like it's an attack. So I like your energy. I just want you to know that, because not very few people, you are, I definitely can take that. But at the end of the day, it comes back around to you, and at least you admit it. Like, there's a few people who won't admit the fact that, you know what, now I get what you were saying. Most people would just let it go and be like, you know what, I ain't going to tell them. So I like that about you too. But, you know, I think that there is room for communication between different people in order to come to a solution. Because the bottom line, we need the solutions, not the problems. We all know the problems.
We need to argue first to get it out the way. Like, the thing is, these things, I wish we could do this in person, because, like, I argue with everybody. Yeah. Like, my family will, like, they'll be talking. They'll be like, Nadia, did you just get cussed out? And I'm like, no, that's actually love. They're on my side. So I'm used to debate, and that's not negative in my community and my family. Like, I argue people that I love. Like, so.
Well, that's good.
It's like not, and it's like, well, because you do have a difference of opinion, you know? And like we were talking earlier about our different tribes of different ways of life. Like, my mom's African-American, my father's Panamanian. They have a completely different way of lifestyle, what's appropriate. They worship different. One is Catholic, one is Baptist, like for real Baptist, like hats and everything. So it's like, it is, sometimes I grew up around like tension.
And tug of war, yeah.
They was both trying to claim. They was like, you know, you not one of them. You know, you black at the end of the day. I was like, they black too. They didn't say they wasn't black. And it's like, you know, you Panamanian, right? You know, it's like, I know I'm Panamanian. I know where I come from. Like, you know, so I'm proud, deeply proud, and I'm proud African. Like, I'm very proud. I can't wait to go to Africa and start building. I'm right now, today I decided I'm going to look up Benin Togo, because that's where a lot of my lineage comes from. So I'm like, I'm going to support that, and I'm going to be a part of the arts and bring people so we can relax, because Black people deserve leisure. It doesn't have to be a fight all the time. If we fight, I want to fight drink in one hand, something else in the other.
Let me say this, then you might get a lot of good information out of next week's conversation, because I got a young brother on that's been head of this organization, which, you know, Ghana has opened up the doors to African Americans to come over there and build. Yes, so he's one of the brothers that's heading that whole situation, and we're gonna be on here talking. I met him at the reparations convention in DC, so he's gonna be on next week.
Why didn't you tell me about that, Ra?
That was last year. Yeah, that was last year. We went out there.
I was going to say it, and I didn't even get to say it because we was arguing about something else. Because I was about to say reparations, and then you probably would have shared that. Because I was like,
yeah, I did. I went to the convention, and we, you know, got a lot of information. But this brother has already petitioned and got everything ready for the government. They already have got the bill. They got everything ready. They got the financials and all that. So they're talking about, you know, Ghana is offering 200 acres, 250 acres, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, 250 acres. This is, so Ghana's, because I heard that they're creating communities for, Is it for just African Americans or just anybody at black?
Nah, just African Americans, because they want to try to get them to come back. You know what I mean? They trying to offer an opportunity for them to come. They offer them only 200 acres right now as a starter, and if they get everything up and running and developed, then you know they'll give them more.
Is this one person or many people?
It's a certain number. It's in the hundreds of thousands that they're allowing people to come over. Yeah. So yeah, the conversation next week. Yeah. It's gonna be they're gonna start off with 200 acres, right? And then from there, if they get it all together, then they'll be able to move it on. But the plan, of course, it's for a certain number of people, because financially they're trying to get from the government a certain number for amount for a certain amount of people, and then develop it and allow people to come through. The only difference is they don't feel like a lot of people will take the offer. Like a lot of African Americans won't take the offer over there.
But you have to invest in it, right? So how much is the
investment? This is the information that we're gonna get next week. My thing for them was, all right, so economically, how are y'all gonna do it if the dollar is crashing? So that means y'all gonna have to be in a digital space. So they gotta be more of an economical education in order to move to another country, but accept US dollars in order for you to go to this country.
You have to get comfortable with cultural, because that's a thing that people don't realize. We've been living, if you grew up in the United States, you've lived in a Western environment. The brainwashing that Jesse was talking about. These societal norms are Western, white, Europe. The societal norms in Ghana are going to be different. You cannot run down somebody saying, hey, I don't have no ice. Where my ice? You being rude. No,
yeah, you cannot. You're going to have to change up some things.
We have to go back to our ways. And that's where we need to have a conversation about how do we undo this and remember, okay, we can do this. We can live learn. This is our natural way of being. And this is the way it should be.
Yeah, we got to relearn. Yeah. Well, that's why I said, so next week episode will be dope. You might want to catch it, get that information, and then I'll connect y'all if y'all need to. And you can, you know what I'm saying, possibly have a conversation in your own with them as well, too. So, let's continue to build. But before we get out of here, please tell everybody how they can find you and how they can get more information on how to contact you and, you know, find out what you got going on.
Yes. Well, thank you, Ross, so much for inviting me on your platform. It's been fun. I didn't rock the boat too much. That would
nice. I loved it. Yo, listen.
But you can find me at blackdinamedia.com. And also on the 24th, I'm having a webinar, The Whitewashing of Black Latino Music. So we go over a few different genres like reggaeton, salsa, tango, bomba, Afro-Latin jazz, and talk about how they've been whitewashed. Find me on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Blackdina.
Yo, that's what it is. I want y'all to make sure y'all check her out, because like I said, the history and, you know, music and culture is part of our community, yo. Like, no, it does. We like I said, we're separated by language and skin color, but for the most part, you know, when it comes down to this music and when it comes down to arts and culture, we the inventors of it all. And I think it's very important for y'all to go get this history, because if you did, then it will give you a better understanding of how we're connected more than we're separate. We have to realize, you know, the African drum is the original drum. And if we can understand how that has translated from where it came started in Africa to all over the world and to where it is today, and understand that without that drum beat, there is no music, right? Like, we understand that there's different things that make up the sounds of music and harmonies and notes and all that. But what we do understand is that the basis, the bottom, the foundation is that drum. So I want all of y'all to make sure y'all tap in with Nadia. Check out what's going on. Check out that webinar and just hit her up and let her know. Like, you know, if y'all got questions and stuff, because we know tonight we didn't talk a lot about that, which was great, because what we did talk about was what is needed to be talked about. And that's what I love about sparking conversation, because that's what it's about. It's about sparking conversation. Sometimes, you know, we want to talk about what the spirit wants us to talk about, not what we plan to do. And a lot of times, I tell you guys all the time, if you allow the spirit to lead, then you won't go wrong. But Until next week, y'all know what to do. Same bat channel, same bat time. And like I say each and every week, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, y'all hold it down out there. Peace.